In the same way, he took the blood. 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner. Now the same manner. Huh? Why didn't he do it different? Mix it up a little bit. The same manner. He wants you to do the same thing. You people here? We're going to do the same thing with the blood. We're going to receive the benefits. Is there any benefits in the covenant of the blood of Jesus? Hee hee ha ha. Huge. Benefits of the blood. In the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, everybody underline that word. He took the cup saying something. We took the broken body represented by the bread saying something. Does this make sense? We took it saying something. Take it, brother. Take it saying something. I wasn't brought up this way. I was brought up, nobody said anything. You take the cup and you shut up. You get slapped in the back of the head by your mother. You take the cup and you say something. We took the bread and what did we say? Remember? What happened to you? At 5 of 12 today, you received healing in your physical body. It no longer has any right to be in you, even if it's an old age thing. Tough. My youth is renewed. I'm not forgetting that part. Don't forget that part. I don't even remember my name. That's because you've been forgetting this. If you don't forget this, you'll never forget your name. In the same manner, he took the cup saying, glory be to God forever. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, in remembrance of what? His blood that he spilled for who? For you. Is there any value in the blood? It is the most valuable substance on the face of the earth. What do you mean on the face of the earth? Well, where'd he spill it? Spilled it on earth, right? And we know he took some of it anyway and went into heaven and consecrated the temple there, right? Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Quickly, Hebrews 8:6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more is he the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Better covenant, better promises. Now, were they able to be healed under the old covenant? Were they able to be blessed financially under the old covenant? According to Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Part of the covenant. What you're holding in your hands right now is a symbol or an element of a new covenant that you have with God that is better than the old covenant. Why people think that, you know, healing's not in the new covenant or prosperity's not, they're wrong. They're just absolutely wrong. This is better. Wouldn't it be worse?
Well, take this new covenant and sickness will come on you and poverty.
Now, that would be the curse. It's probably why God had to describe it in such detail. This is a blessing. This is a curse. Don't get it mixed up. You're not taking part of a curse. You're taking part of a covenant of a blessing that is greater than the Old Testament covenant. I'm telling you, people who figured it out and walked in it back then, they were blessed. Most blessed people on the face of the earth. Glory be to God. A new covenant established upon better promises. Better promises. Chapter 9:11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come. I'm telling you, you receive this today, good things are coming your way. Good things. If we do this right, do we understand? We're not forgetting his benefits. It's a benefit of a better covenant on better promises, good things to come. Everybody say, good things to come. This year, in Jesus' name. Who's the mediator? Jesus, is he able to do it? He's able to do it if you receive what he's given you to receive it from and through. It's through his blood covenant. I'm excited about this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When you receive the blood in like manner, what are you receiving? Eternal redemption through the blood. You people game for this? Now, I don't like this. I just want to get my sacraments over and go play some hockey. Eternal redemption. Eternally redeemed from what? Forget not all his benefits. Better covenant, better promises. They were healed in the old covenant. We heal by his stripes. We're healed in the new covenant in a much better way. One more and then I'll let you take it. Hallelujah. Eternal redemption. Hebrews 10. Glory be to God forever. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Does it take boldness?
Yes.
What are we boldly going to enter into? The holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, what does this afford you? If you're in the holiest, who are you with? Who are you hanging out with? God. You and God. How can you do this? How did he say you enter in? Through the blood, you enter into a relationship with God in the holiest. Well, you know, people said, no, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, he gave us a way here by the blood to enter into the holiest. He didn't just say holy, he said holiest. By the blood, a new and living way, which he consecrated for you. If nobody else does it, you do it. Right? Nobody else does it, you do it. You enter in. Having become a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why did he put that there? How did he enter in? In like manner, Jesus took the blood, saying, we're going to take the blood, we're going to receive the holiest. We're going to enter in. Brother, you're freaking me out. We're going to enter in when we receive this. To what? The holiest. By the blood of Jesus in a new and living way. It enables God to walk with you and talk with you in ways like never before. The blood. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. We're also cleansed from all our sin. We're delivered from the past. Everybody take your representation of the blood and say this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness of all sins and cleansing from all unrighteousness. And through this blood, I enter in to all of the glory that you've prepared for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take the blood. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You are now free of all sin. You are now delivered from all devils. Is there any devils in the holiest place of God? You're healed of all sicknesses. What are you going to say about it? This is what you're going to say. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Is sin a problem for you anymore?
No.
How could it be? You live in the holiest. Sickness a problem for you anymore? You going to partake of the flu season when it comes around? What about old age? Is that bothering you? Oh, doesn't bother me. I'll never lose my mind. Brother, you already have. Oh, stop it. Soundness of mind. Jesus is Lord. All right, we've received two elements today. Everybody say two. How many are there?
Three.
We're going to receive the third element. Brother, I think you're just saying that to rile people up. Maybe. I've been known to do that. What do you think the third element is, people? Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. So I do want you, this won't take long. So if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8, you know, you shouldn't be complaining.
No.
You got healed this morning.
Yes,
you shouldn't be complaining. You got forgiven from all your iniquities this morning. You're walking with God in the holiest. All this is by faith, you understand, right? What if what you said about it, well, that didn't do anything. Nah, that doesn't work. What if? Then you really didn't judge yourself and you didn't discern the Lord's body.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8. Glory be to God. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's telling you to abound in the grace. He calls them all grace by qualifying at the end. Faith, love. You hear? He says, I want you to abound. Everybody say abound. Abound in this grace also. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, for you know the grace. So what are we talking about here? Grace. Is there a grace here that he must be talking about? He said to abound in this grace. Is there a grace for healing? Is there a grace for righteousness? Is there a grace for faith? He just said there was. He says to abound in this grace also. Abound? Yeah, abound. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. This sounds an awful lot like how he took our sicknesses. This sounds an awful lot like how he took our sins. He bore it in his own body on the tree. He said to abound in this grace also. What? The grace of him being made poor, that you would be made rich. There's nothing to be ashamed of to walk in the wealth of God. And I've said this before, one of the people like it, I should be ashamed not to be. Because he provided it for you. It's part, is this Bible? The grace. The grace of the Lord to make you rich. How can he do it except for substitutionary sacrifice? He can't. This is how he did everything. He wants you to abound in this. Brother, I don't know. You know. It says you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich. This is why people say, no, I don't know. Yes, according to the Bible, they must be lying. You know this. He bore your poverty so you would bear what? His wealth. You just entered into the holiest. You think it's poor there? God, what are you sitting on a cardboard box for? Well, you know how it is in the holiest. You know, when you're holy, you live in cardboard. You didn't know that, son? Brother. Hallelujah. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. People, I am telling you, if I could shake you, I would. Carlene would yell at me. Or she might say, sick, she might, sick him. He bore your poverty.
Yes, he
bore your lack so that you could bear his wealth. You mean God wants me rich? If I could scream it through a megaphone into your ear directly, I would. So you know how many people reject this part of the gospel? That's why I call it the third element. He gives you the means and ability by which to do it, and he commands you. Receive. How can it be received without preaching, though? You know, so you got to tolerate it to some degree, even if it doesn't sound right to your ear at first. Isn't this right? Some of this stuff didn't bother me at first when I first heard it. I'm like, oh, those preachers are just trying to get a big offering. They're just trying to buy a new car, a new watch or something with their offering plate. No, the ones who really, and then there may be some, I don't know. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to examine them. It goes the same way. Examine yourself, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Examine yourself this morning in the like manner. If you've got too much debt, if you've got lack, how many of you could stand a little more walking in the kingdom of God? If you have, examine yourself. Look at it and say, you examine yourself, you judge it, because he bore your poverty. He bore that thing. So you need to get rid of it. You need to say, no, I'm bearing Jesus' wealth now. And you have no right in my body. You have no right in my finances. You have no right in my bank accounts. And what are you going to say about it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say something.
Yes.
You say it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. I'm just a poor Christian. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Just a stupid one. Brother, you can't say it. I'm saying it. I already said it. I'll stand behind that. There aren't any poor Christians. There's just stupid ones. They don't know. There are no sick Christians. There's just stupid ones. They're ignorant of the fact that Jesus bore that thing. And they're not judging themselves, and they're not taking the benefit that the Lord commanded them to remember. Forget not the benefit. Forget not the benefit of the Lord bearing your poverty. Now let me ask you a question. If he bore your poverty, what don't you have anymore? Poverty. I'll never be broke another day in my life. How could you be? If you're going to say what he said. If you're going to say something contrary, well, whatever. Then you're going to get whatever you say. But say what the Lord says about you. He bore your poverty that you may be rich. Do you see that? Am I making that up? Through his poverty might be rich. Who's this talking about? You. Did he tell you to abound in this grace? Are you going to abound in this grace? Are you committing today to abound in this grace? What grace? Him, the same one. Did you commit today when you took the other elements? Judging yourself that sin no longer had any dominion over you. The sickness no longer had any dominion over you. This third element, the tithe, we're going to receive in a moment. When we receive it, we're going to make that judgment. We're going to say, poverty no longer has any judgment over me. None. Poverty. So what does that make you? You poor? You're rich. Rich. Everybody say rich.
Rich.
Something about that word, it irritates people. We should just say it more. Rich. Healed. Everybody say healed.
Healed.
Righteous.
Righteous.
They go together, people. Do you see how they go together? Righteousness, healing, and rich. They all go together. You can't, that's why poverty doesn't fit in there. It's like, a square peg in a round hole or something. It does not fit. It's not the nature of God. There are no cardboard boxes in heaven. Don't even look for one. Look for the blessings of God this year. The good thing is coming to you. It's coming. It's on its way. God's already ordained it. You just need to meet up paths now. The good thing. Everybody say, the good thing is coming to me. This year. This year. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. We're going to abound in this grace also. You got 5 more minutes, people. Deuteronomy 8. You got 5 more minutes to let God make you rich. Nah, I ain't want that. I'm going to go to poverty church where they hand out cardboard boxes. What do you think the gospel to the poor was? That you don't have to be poor, that God's going to bless you and deliver you from it. Isn't that good news? I think about it, you know, in situations I've come out of them or other things that I'm praying about, I laugh about it. When you get in faith over it, it is just fun. It's exciting. How would you like to be able to just give thousands of dollars into every offering that came by and just not even think about it? Thousands? Yeah, thousands. If you're rich. And people have a hard time with this. What do you think? God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so that you can be a blessing. I'm telling you, you can't give thousands of dollars into the offering bucket unless you have it. So let's have God bless you so you can have plenty to give. Hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. You got to understand, I could preach this stuff all day. Brother, don't. You're going to hurt me. Made up fall out of a window or something. But you know why? Because this is so vital to our day and time. It's so vital. This is what God is doing. Hallelujah. And we have to receive it. If we don't receive it, what do we get? Nothing. Do you want to receive it? Do you want to receive God in your financial life, in the capacity of Himself doing things? Not just you doing things. Him blessing you so that you can be a blessing, a vessel for Him. Yeah. Do you think He wants to get blessings through to people? In little drips and drabs? A 20 here, a 10 there. Is that God? No, that's you helping Him out. Let's yield ourselves to this grace. It's the same way with healing. Are you people here? It's the same way you yield yourself to the grace of God wanting to heal people. You lay hands on their head and they become healed. Yes, God wants to get His wealth through to people. Well, who's He going to use? You. But for Him to do that, many times He's got to change the way we think about things. Hallelujah. Try to stay on track here. You there? Deuteronomy 8. No, I'm not. I'll just read it from. Thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. Next verse. Hallelujah. But thou shalt what?
Remember.
Oh, come on. Did you put that in there and change the scripture? No, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth to get by. He gives the power to get by and just get enough. Get your head out of that. God wants you wealthy. So I'm not making this up, okay? This is the God we serve. You're going to remember. You shall remember the Lord your God. For it is He that gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Who's He going to do this to?
Well, obviously, my neighbors.
No. What are you going to remember? All His benefits. Forget none of His benefits. This is a benefit of serving God. People look at you and they go, wow, I want to serve God. Because I want to live like that. I want to be able to give that kind of money. And I do. That's what really excites me. I think about it. How many of you know it's more blessed to give than receive? You ever give somebody a big something and they're like, gah. But how do you feel? You feel really good. You start thinking about that. God blessing you to the capacity where $1,000 doesn't bother you in a single offering. Or $10,000 doesn't even bother you. It's like, whatever. It's like pocket change. Oh, goodness. Oh, did I bring enough? Oh, yeah, there's $1,000. Here. Are you kidding me? This is God. This is not you and me working our butts off. Did I say that in church? Working our butts off. Did I say it twice? Just to get enough to do something. This is God's grace. Do you understand? We receive it the same way. Do you receive healing by works?
No.
You don't. Grace, it's a grace of healing that comes on you, and you walk in and we've received it. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to heal us. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of all of our sin, even though we don't deserve it. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to prosper us with his wealth. It's by grace that you're saved, through faith. I'm excited about it. You know, the faith starts rising up in you, it will change your life. And people won't like you, because with it comes the persecution. Oh, you don't believe that health and wealth stuff, do you? Yeah. Because this is his word, and this is the God we serve. You need to meet him. He's big. He's beautiful. He's glorious. And he's the ruler and owner of everything, and we're his children. We should live like it and act like it. Hallelujah. Lend unto many nations. You can't do that in yourself, but you can do it through his power, his grace. Is there grace to keep you healed when everybody else is sick? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. That's grace. Is there grace to make you wealthy in the midst of chaos and depression? It's grace. It's not your trying to figure it out. Are we going to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ resting on us today? That's what you're going to receive. You're not going to receive just some other thing. You people with me? I believe in God for you. I believe in God to change the way you think, change the structure of who you are, so that you walk in the fullness of all that God has redeemed you from and provided for you. Yes. Superman on the earth. You can do it. God's not going to put it in his book and tell you can't do it. This is you, and we got to change to it. Be changed into it. The glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. I almost barked like a dog when them barking churches there. Throw something at me if I cluck like a chicken, though. Goodness gracious. Hallelujah. One more scripture, and I'll try to end with this. Malachi chapter 3. Hallelujah. God's going to change you and do a work in you. You guys all right with that? You all right being changed? You all right if I get changed? I'm changing. Yeah, brother, I know. We've been here for over a year. What's happened to you? Oh, I'm going to change even more. Malachi. I'm serious. I'm going to change. I'm changing. You're changing. We're all going to change. What do you think? But you're perfect, brother. Are you kidding me? Not one of us is perfect. Jesus is perfect, yes. But how are we changing into his image?
Yes.
But I'm saying we've got a lot of changing to do. Yes. And I'm expecting myself to. I can't expect you to change unless I'm willing to change myself. You understand? And we've got to be willing for everybody else to change, just because they might not be where we think they should be. Who made you the judge, the examiner? So we're going to allow everybody to change that's in here. Look around the room. All these people we see here, they're going to change. God's going to bless them. God's going to heal them. God's going to prosper them. And we'll be just completely different people.
But I like the old people.
Oh, no, you don't. Goodness gracious, you'll like them much better when we change.
Yes.
Who do you like better, Jesus or the person sitting next to you? Well, that's what we're being changed into, right?
Yes.
Glory be to God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Well, wait a second. When these people went out and worked their work, harvested their field, did their crops, wasn't it their money? Was it? They thought it was. But according to the scripture, it's not. The tithe is not yours. This is where people kind of forget it. They kind of miss it, right? They think, well, it's mine. I can tithe or I can't tithe. Well, you can if you want to be cursed with a curse. You people here? Don't be cursed. This is why, you know, and it's. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm really not. I'm trying to get you up to a place where you see the provision of God and the glory of God and walk in this grace also. Oh, people, listen. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. When you received the benefit of the broken body of the Lord, was it your broken body that you offered? Was it? You're offering his to him. When you received the blood of the Lord and put you into the holiest by the, right? You hear? Was it your blood that you offered to him? His blood you're offering back to him. When you tithe, are you offering back to him your money? It's his money. You people here? See why I call it the third element? I believe the Bible does too. You're not offering something to God that was yours. It never was yours. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. You're offering it back to him because it's his. Hello? Brother, I don't like this. You're scaring me. No, this is good news. When you received the benefits of the blood, it's good news. When you received the benefits of the broken body, good news. When you received the benefits of the tithe, which put you in covenant, financial covenant with the living God. Good news. Kiss your cardboard box goodbye. Jesus is Lord. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Whose tithe is it? And this is something you got to get it, whether people like it or not. Whose tithes are you bringing to the storehouse? Your own. Oh, I made this $50. The work of my own hands. What was the scripture we just read? Say not it was the work of your own hands that got you this wealth. It's God that gave you the ability to get wealth. He's just letting you keep 90% of it. And then who multiplies it? Hallelujah. Who keeps you healed? Who keeps you free from sin? He does. Hallelujah. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He's saying it's the same thing. You're bringing something that he gave you to him. And through doing that, he promises to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. You can't even receive it. Hallelujah. I can receive a lot, but obviously not that much, according to scriptures. Let me read this quickly. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, do the nations know the difference between blessed and cursed? He's bringing it right back into the natural realm, people. They'll be able to look. They'll call you blessed. I say, man, he's blessed. They're blessed. That church over there, they're blessed. I don't know. Anything they do just comes out good. Something happens. I don't even know what. They don't even look that smart. But everything they do prospers. supernaturally.
Yes.
Glory to God. Is this a promise of God? Yes. Verse 13, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, where have we spoken so much against you? Verse 14, you have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Jesus took the cup saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. These people, even though they tithed, they said, oh, this doesn't do anything. Did they really receive it that way? No. We receive, we know this, we're the same spirit where we believe and we speak. We believe and we say. Welcome to the New Testament. And I don't have time to go into it right now, but this is the way it is. So when you believe and you're receiving from the tithe, I showed you scripture that the tithe does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. My tithe belongs to the Lord. Leroy Thompson said it's the first dime. If you can't get past the dime, you'll never get beyond anything else. But the dime doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him, and he's asking you to return it to him. And then what is he going to do? He's going to make sure that you're in covenant with him when you do that. And he's going to make sure that he takes care of you. You will be blessed. You are walking in his grace that makes you rich. And so today, when we give our tithes, we hear, we're going to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes us rich. Rich? Yes, rich. Not just partially provided for, little bit of get me by. Deal with this, people. Deal with this. Deal with it. God wants you to be rich. He doesn't want you to be poor. Do you understand? But he has a method and a way for you to do it. And it is through the tithe. It's showing him that off that first dime, off that first dollar, the dime is his. Return it to him. Why do you think? Because he's trying to trick me out of my money. He says, no, he's trying to get his blessing to you.
Yes,
make you freaky rich. So the world looks at you and goes, what's on him? It's the grace, brother.
Yeah.
Talk to the grace. Talk to the grace. The grace has made me rich. And Abraham said, I've lift up the hand of the Most High God that no man made me rich. God made me rich.
Yeah.
And he said that over the tithe. My object up here is not to whittle money out of you. My needs are met according to his riches and glory, not according to what I can get you to give. Come on, give. Give another five. Give another five. No! My needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I say it all the time. I believe it. They just are. But my object here is to get you to, number one, give back to God what is his so that he can give back to you himself. In the financial realm, I'm telling you, people, listen, you think you're going to get the wealth of God by doing it some other way than the way he has you done? No, you'll just get some get me by. But if we can line up in the plan of God and walk in his, he will supernaturally bring things to you. Supernaturally. Beyond what you can ask or think. What if we don't believe it? What if we don't receive this? Same thing, not discerning the Lord's body, not discerning the Lord's tithe. And believe it, people, believe it. So when we take up the offering today, we're going to receive it. We're going to receive it unto the Lord. And from that moment on, his grace is going to rest on you. Do you believe it? Just like we received the elements, do you understand? It was his blood that you received. It was his broken body that you receive. Now it's his tithe that you're receiving from. But the way you receive from it is to return it to him. Does this make sense? Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name. Freto barizige lebreje. Hena mokosta miras tahante kok lehopu predius. Et hombre gonzideti flaf kehebados to pobedede brevius. The hand of the Lord is available for you, and you will see it open up wider and wider. It gets bigger and stronger and more powerful on your behalf. You will see this open up this year. You will begin to enter into the greatness of the glory and the presence of the Lord. Fete, Noma, Oculus, Eshebe, Ebruvius, Bash. So don't be stingy. Don't hold back yourself from him, but give yourself to the glory of the Lord. Give of yourself and receive from the presence of the living God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you play that last song you played there while we take up the offering? Glory be to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So Rich is going to sing this song while we do this the normal way. I guess I could pass the bucket, but Father, thank you for these people. We enter into your glory. We enter into the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to prosper us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Before you go into the next part, glory to God. So, what do we say about this now? What do we say now that we've partaken of the tithe of the Lord? What are we going to say about it? We are rich. His grace is resting on me. Everybody say this. His grace is resting on me right now. He has made me rich. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Just give him praise for a second here. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us rich. Thank you for providing for all of our needs. And right now, there is no poverty in our lives. Right now, I take authority over poverty. I take authority over debt. I take authority over bad notes or anything that might be trying to hinder our financial situation. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. We stand clean now because we are tithers. We stand clean in the presence of the Lord, and we commit to moving forward in this grace. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Everybody say, I am rich. In Jesus' name.